Welcome to Scripture Adventures, where we seek the wisdom of God like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. I'm so excited to welcome my friend Jennifer Blaylock to the podcast today. Jennifer and I first connected during COVID through an online women's Bible study, and since then, we've been talking through Scripture and life together. Over the years, our friendship has grown deep roots in God's Word, a shared love of coffee, and the joy of gathering women to celebrate the goodness and promises of God. Today, we're talking about parenting. Parenting isn't about having it all figured out. It's about staying grounded in the peace, love, and grace that God so generously extends to us. Together, we'll explore what it looks like to parent from a place of trust in God's faithful character and how we can reflect Him to our children, whether they're toddlers, teenagers, or adults. Jennifer, I am so glad you're here today. Are you ready to dive into this conversation on parenting?
All right. Let's get to it. We really began leaning into this topic of parenting after you started your biblical counseling classes and began sharing some of your reading with me. Two books in particular stood out: Age of Opportunity, A Biblical Guide to Parenting Teens by Paul David Tripp, and Changed Into His Image, God's Plan for Transforming Your Life by Jim Burke. And I remember stumbling across those books after you had shared them with me. And this was right after my youngest was enjoying the summer between his junior and senior year of high school, and my oldest had already turned 20. And I can still recall thinking, where have these books been all these years?
I felt the same way. My kids are all adults, and it really would have been nice to have had some such helpful guidance when they were younger. And even though Paul Tripp and his book Age of Opportunity focuses on parenting teens, the book is full of godly parenting wisdom that can be helpful for parenting kids at any age.
And I think that's when we said, let's give other moms a glimpse of what it looks like to follow God's lead when it comes to parenting. And I'd actually love to start with this reminder from the Old Testament. Let's look at Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. And that is such a beautiful passage and such a grounding reminder for us as parents. You see, God parents us with compassion and fresh mercy every single day. That's our model, not perfection, not pressure, but His mercy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. God doesn't ask us to strive for perfection in parenting or in any other area of our lives for that matter. It never works anyway. We always end up falling short in some way and usually stressed out about it,
right?
Or at least I do. And I really love those scriptures you shared in Lamentations. God treats us with love and compassion even when we don't deserve it. And that is exactly how we should treat our kids. God has given us the example of the perfect parent in Himself. And maybe we can't be like perfect like God, but we can certainly learn from Him.
Right. And that is powerful to think about that. Just, we don't have to try to be like God, but we can be part of His example and in His image. Mm-hmm. And I also like what Paul Tripp had shared. He said, parenting is not about getting your children to do what you want them to do, but about being an instrument God uses to form what He wants in them.
Yes. And ultimately, what does God want to form in them? And the answer is Christ-like hearts. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Mm-hmm. And we can only help our children imitate Christ if we ourselves are doing our best to imitate Him. And to do that, first, we have to be humble. We have to repent of our sin and draw near to Him and through His word and prayer.
Yeah.
We can't be prideful, angry people who don't spend any time in God's word and expect our kids to be humble and respectful and repentant.
Oh, I love that. For many of us, parenting can feel like bouncing between seasons of calm and seasons of crisis. Too often we end up simply reacting to our kids instead of truly building a relationship with them. Psalms 127:3 tells us, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from Him. And honestly, I don't know about you, but I don't remember ever thinking of my children as a reward from God. Jim Berg in his book says, this convicting point, he says, Sadly, the goal of many Christian parents is merely to raise a good kid. In that case, the biblical parenting goal has not been reached, even though the child never got into serious trouble. And our children are not projects to manage. They are both a gift and an assignment for the Lord.
Yes, I can strive to raise a well-mannered, respectful kid who wins academic awards and is a star athlete. And these are all really wonderful things, but they should not ever come before God in my life or in my child's life.
Amen.
So if your parenting strategy is not aligned with God's, you're probably stressed out, frustrated with your kids, frustrated with yourself, and questioning if you're doing the right things for them. And most importantly, you might even question if you've really gotten to know your child's heart.
Wow.
I know that I've been there. And I say these things because I've struggled with this most of my kids' young lives. We must ask ourselves if having respectful, successful kids has become an idol to us. And if it has, what do we do about it? But I think that's probably another entire podcast.
Exactly. But such powerful points. And that's why I think it's time for us as parents to shift our perspective from survival mode to discipleship. Trusting God's design in every season of parenting. And this is some really good stuff. Let's shift our focus now to matters of the heart. And I've touched on this on several of my podcast episodes because it's just that important. Proverbs 4:23 reminds us, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And when it comes to raising our children, we have to recognize that behavior management is not the mission. Shaping the heart, ours and theirs, is what truly matters.
Yep. We want to ensure that our hearts and our kids' hearts are being shaped by the Word of God and not by the world. The heart is talked about a good bit throughout Scripture. Our heart or soul is where our thoughts and our emotions and our choices come from. And thoughts tend to lead to emotions, which tend to lead to our choices. And that's why it's so important to guard your heart, like Proverbs says. And Paul Tripp says that it is as if God is saying to us, of all that I have said, focus on your heart. Know it, protect it, guard it. Your heart is the control center of your life. What rules your heart will rule you.
Wow.
Yeah, that's powerful. And for our kids, when they're little, it's our job as their parents to guard their hearts. They can't do it for themselves. So we must protect what they see and hear, because that will lead to the thoughts they have and the emotions they feel, and in turn, even possibly the choices they make. So if we focus primarily on our child's behavior and not their hearts, we have it backwards.
Oh, and that is powerful, because I think that's one area I've struggled with. And Paul Tripp also shared, if rules and regulations had the power to change the heart and life of your teenager, Jesus would have never needed to come. And I want to say that again so that the moms listening hear it. If rules and regulations had the power to change the heart and life of your teenager, Jesus would have never needed to come. I about wrecked the van when I heard that, because as you know, I'm not a reader. I actually love a good audiobook that I can just drown myself in when I'm driving down the highway.
Yeah, that is a powerful statement he made, and it's so true. Jesus came to save us from our sin and from eternal punishment and to give us abundant lives here on this earth. That is not something we can do for ourselves or our children.
And the truth is that when we start seeing our children not just as people to disciple, but as souls to build a relationship with, souls who are a gift from God and who also help shape our walk with Christ, that's when we step into this whole new level of parenting, and it's golden. And I think Jim Berg actually said it best when he said, don't miss the heart issues when dealing with the surface problems. All right, so let's walk the tightrope for a second. You know, all relationships experience some form of conflict, and we all need discipline from time to time. James 1:19 and 20 remind us, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak and slow to speak and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And can you imagine how peaceful life would be if we all really truly lived out this verse?
Yes, it would be. In Hebrews and in Proverbs, we're told that God disciplines us because he loves us. And we need to discipline our children because we love them. Following God's plan for godly parenting definitely involves healthy discipline.
Exactly. Conflict in parenting isn't a dead end. It's a doorway. Tripp had said, conflict is not a hassle. It's a God-given moment to enter the heart of your child.
Yes, and God really has given us the power through the Holy Spirit to approach our kids peacefully. When they have disappointed us or made us mad, we don't have to feel peaceful to behave peaceful. That's so hard sometimes.
Yeah.
But Proverbs 15:1 says that a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And when a child is angry, it's almost impossible to get to their heart. It is for me when I'm angry. So we need to listen more than we talk. A simple question like, what are you feeling right now? I want to understand. Or if you already know what they're feeling, maybe you know they're angry, then you can ask, what about this situation is making you feel so angry? I really want to understand.
I like that.
Our tone is super important. If I ask either of those two questions with any kind of tone besides one of gentle care and concern, it won't be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how I feel, I can speak with a kind tone and kind words.
I think that is such practical tools to leave with parents right now. That is so amazing. So what did you think about what Jim Berg shared when he said, wisdom is not having God's perspective of the whole matter before us, but having God's perspective about what next response will honor him while keeping us usable to him?
Yeah, this is very helpful to keep in mind as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I think it was a woman's Bible study teacher who also said something like, when you don't know what to do, just do the next right thing.
Amen.
So if I'm angry or disappointed with my child, what is the next right step? If I choose what is right in a vulnerable moment, the door is wide open for God to work in mine and my child's hearts in the moments that follow.
That changes the way we approach tension at home, doesn't it? Instead of being quick to correct or even to assume, we can be quick to listen, slow to speak, and intentional in guiding our children's hearts. And to me, that's discipleship in action. And this naturally ties into discipline. Like you said, Hebrews 12:5-6 shares, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. And then Proverbs 3:11-12 echoes that same truth. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Mm-hmm. And God's correction is not a sign of his disappointment. And I think if there's any children listening, I need them to hear that too. Your parents' correction is not a sign of disappointment. It's an expression of love and delight, just like God's correction to us is a reflection of his love and delight. And Tripp reminds us of this as well. He said God uses the trials of parenting not just to change our children, but to transform us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All things includes the trials of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And James 1:2-4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
I love that. And we know that parenting definitely makes you really practice perseverance.
Oh, yeah.
So how do we approach chaos with Christ? Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew,
he also predestined to be conformed in the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Parenting shapes us as much as it shapes them. Mm. Berg had mentioned we were made to reflect God's character, not control our environment. We're image bearers, raising image bearers. Transformation over control.
I love that, transformation over control. Mm. So Romans 8, 28 and 29, like you were just saying, are some of my favorite verses. Every biblical counseling class that I have taken so far at some point has focused on those verses. Wow. And in simple terms, verse 29 is saying that God's purpose for us as Christians is to become more like Jesus throughout our lives. Mm-hmm. As we routinely study his word, spend time in prayer, and learn from other godly people, the way we think will begin to change. Mm-hmm. Changed thinking leads to changed feelings and changed behaviors, and that is heart change.
Oh, amen. And a powerful one. And I think that one thing that stands out the most to me is understanding the need for grace as we parent and disciple these young souls. 1 John 1:9 teaches that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And I think that it is important to realize that our children don't need perfection. They need to see repentance, forgiveness, and grace lived out in their parents' lives as well.
Oh, amen. It takes humility to parent well.
I
can honestly say that my relationship with my children has strengthened, and their trust in me has grown most at times when I have chosen to humble myself and ask them to forgive me for something I did wrong, like overreacting to some minor infraction, mm-hmm. which I've done many times. They will learn primarily from us how to repent, how to ask for forgiveness, and how to give or withhold forgiveness.
And see, that's the gospel in motion in our homes, because we're literally practicing what we're commanded to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so as we prepare to close, let's hold on to the truth found in Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I think that's the call to parents. Don't rush it. Don't resent it. This season of parenting is a holy assignment. Mm-hmm. And I realize that Tripp's book, like we talked about, is more focused on teens, but I really think that it also has some knowledge for all seasons. But I did like what he encouraged parents to realize, that the teen years are not a season to endure, they're a season to embrace.
Yes, absolutely. Which is difficult, but when we do that, we actually can find so much joy
right
in that.
Mm-hmm.
I found much of Tripp's guidance really practical. He said, we must be intentional with our kids. God commands us to make the most of the opportunities we have. So here are a few suggestions he shared that I thought might be helpful. So okay. I'll share them. He said, capitalize on searching questions that your child asks. Mm. If it is an inconvenient moment, or if you don't know the answer, tell him that it's a good question and you want to talk to him about it later. Give him a specific time and then follow through.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then number two, make the most of complaints, even when you feel you don't have the time or energy to deal with them. So be honest, tell your child you want to help her work through the issue she's having, and will when you can. And again, tell her when. Then circle back around and help her. Mm. Number three, ask your child what her day was like, and do this in a moment when you and she actually do have time to talk about it. Don't rush, and remember to listen more than you talk.
That's powerful.
Try to refrain from giving advice.
Right.
And then number four, the last one, is if your child has acted badly and needs to be disciplined, do not approach him or her in anger, guns blazing. Take your time. Pray. Remember how God has dealt with you. Think about how you would like to be approached if you were in their shoes. open the scriptures and be reminded of what God says about how to approach someone who has sinned and what he says about anger.
Those are very practical tools, and they really align well with something that one of our pastors here at church said, Pastor Jaden Johnson. He had done one on the power of our words, you know, and I remember like when we came home, when my husband and I came home one day, there was a situation with Jackson, and I was able to practice these things you and I are talking about, but my husband was able to practice exactly what he had heard from Pastor Jaden. Mm. And he did. He went back and quoted scriptures, quoted the sermon to Jackson and said, I am just going to practice what we learned in scripture today. And I am not going to plant seeds that I don't want to sow, but you were wrong.
So that's great.
He was like, we will deal with this later. And you know, friends, that's what we want you to understand, is that you don't have to be perfect to parenting. Mm-hmm. And that we hope that this gave you some tools and some resources. If you haven't read these books, we highly encourage you to do so. And we want to thank you for joining us today. Hold on to the truth found in Isaiah 40:11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. God is leading you as you lead them. You're not doing this alone. Until next time, keep seeking the wisdom of God like silver and searching for it like hidden treasure. Thanks for being with me today, Jen.
That's great. Thank you.